Welcome back to Successions. We need to discuss where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. So last class, we started the notes on the substantive successions law that you'll be responsible for in this course. We started with Roman numeral 1, general information, and the first thing we discussed was the effect of a succession, and I told you guys that a succession is just one way of acquiring ownership of a thing. Then we moved and talked about the definition of a succession, and we distinguished between the substantive opening of the succession and the judicial opening. Then we talked about the definition of an estate and the fact that one can have an estate even where his or her debts exceed his or her assets. And then we moved on and discussed the two different types of successions, a testate succession, which is where one dies with a legally valid testament, and you'll learn all about that in your donations class, and then also intestate succession, which is where someone dies with either no testament or an invalid testament. We also talked about the fact that sometimes a person can have both testate and intestate succession if they die with certain circumstances present where certain parts of their property will go under a will and the other part will go through the laws of intestacy. So that wrapped up Roman numeral 1. Then we moved on to Roman numeral 2 to discuss the prerequisite to a succession, which, of course, is death. Now, to start that discussion, we started with letter A under Roman numeral 2, which is definition of death. And I told you guys that there are actually two types of death. There's one, actual death, and two, presumed death. So last class, we talked about actual death, which, as a reminder, can be found in Louisiana Revised Statute 9:111. And we looked at Part A of that statute, which gives us, a physician declaring someone dead in the typical situation where there is either physical death or mental death, and then also in the organ donor situation. We then talked under Part B about a coroner pronouncing someone dead, and we worked Hypothetical 3. So that's where we left off last class, and today I want to talk to you guys about presumed death, which is the other type of death. As a general matter, presumed death allows a person to be considered dead in the eyes of the law, even when his body has not been found. Now, presumed death has always been recognized as civil law, although not always in the detailed way expressed under current law. Under Louisiana current law, a person can be presumed dead under three different circumstances. One, Article 30, two, MIA, and three, absent person. So what I'll do at this point is go through each of those three ways of presumed death separately. So the first, again, Article 30. That article says, when a person has disappeared under circumstances such that his death seems certain, his death is considered to have been established even though his body has not been found. So what does that mean? Well, essentially it means there are certain elements that have to be satisfied in order to find someone presumed dead under Article 30. Under the text of the article, you have two elements or requirements. One, the person has to have disappeared. Two, under circumstances such that death seems certain. Now, I point out that comment B provides that the death of a person under Article 30 is proved by a preponderance of the evidence. This is kind of interesting because it seems like there could be an inconsistency between the text of the article and that comment B, but I would just simply point out here that comments are not law and that we will adopt the elements provided for in the text. So we've got that a person has to disappear. So basically, this just means we have no body, no body. And then secondly, we have to have death seeming certain. Now that raises an interesting issue. When does death seem certain? Well, we have a couple of cases that I assigned you guys to read that illustrate this death seems certain idea. One of these cases is an older case from 1934, and then the other one is, and that first one is a Louisiana Supreme Court case, And then the second one is newer. It's from 1995, and it is a, I'm sorry, 1996. And it is a Third Circuit opinion. Now, I'll tell you that when I was taught successions and we talked about Article 30, I was told that there had to be a calamity for someone to be presumed dead under Article 30. And I will tell you, I don't think that's entirely accurate based on the cases. Okay, so let's look at those two cases. First case, like I said, is Bennett, a Louisiana Supreme Court case from 1934. In the Bennett case, we have a plaintiff. She is the wife of this guy who, you know, has disappeared. She is also the beneficiary of his life insurance policy. So this is a suit on the life insurance contract. When she files suit, the insurance company is going to file an exception of no cause of action. And essentially what this is, if you're not familiar with Louisiana Code of Civil Procedure, this is what defendants do to try to get rid of the case early. They'll file exceptions. An exception of no cause of action basically just says, you know, assuming everything you say is true, you still don't have a claim. It's sort of like a 12B6 motion to dismiss in federal court. Okay, so the life insurance company says you have no cause of action, and they say you don't have a body here. So this guy's not even dead, so we don't have to pay the proceeds of the life insurance policy. So the trial court gets this before them, and they're like, nah, we're not going to grant this exception of no cause of action. So what ends up happening is the case goes all the way to a full-blown trial. And at the trial, the plaintiff's suit is dismissed. So basically, the insurance company wins. Well, the facts of this case are this. 47-year-old Jack Bennett left home, and he hasn't been seen in 7 years. Now, he had pulmonary tuberculosis for over a year when he left, and he was getting worse. He was very melancholy and despondent, but he had a good relationship with his wife. And he left her a letter saying that he was going to take a new job to make more money for her sake. Now, she got a doctor to come in and testify that it was possible or probable that he could have died in those 7 years. So, of course, the issue is he dead? Well, when the court performs its analysis, and I have to say that at this time there was no such thing as Article 30, so this has all sort of been developed in the jurisprudence at this time in 1934. So in its analysis, the court draws a distinction between an absent person and something called exposure to peril of life. And it says, you know, at that time, for an absent person to be declared dead, he or she had to be gone for 100 years. Let me tell you right now, that's been changed. But at the time, they said an absent person to be declared dead has to be gone 100 years, unless their death is, like, clearly established. On the other side, though, exposure to peril of life would allow someone to be declared dead, and there was no requisite time period that had to be shown. And the court goes through some examples of exposure to peril of life, and it talks about cases in which there was an earthquake, a fire where the person had not been heard from for 20 years, and 1,200 corpses had been identified. Talks about, you know, a case where a guy was on a boat where yellow fever was rampant and hadn't been heard from in 35 years. Another case where, you know, someone was lost at sea and hadn't been heard from in 7 years. So, in essence, the court talks about absent persons and then this exposure to peril of life. And when looking at the examples of the exposure to peril of life, it looks as if, at least under that time, there has to be some sort of calamity, because that is sort of the common thread in all the cases that the court discusses in the Bennett case. So the decision reached, of course, is that this guy is not dead. And the reason is, you know, one, there's been no exposure to peril of life here. There's no big calamity. And then also, you know, even if this guy is an absent person, he's not been gone 100 years, and his death has not clearly been established. So at this time, 1934, the rule pretty much was there had to be some big disaster for you to be declared dead. Well, in 1996, there is another case that came out from the Third Circuit that sort of turns the Bennett case maybe on its head a little bit. So if Bennett is standing for the proposition that there has to be a calamity for someone to be dead, Jones versus State, the 1996 Third Circuit case, is a little different. All right. In this case, we have a plaintiff. She is the mother of a missing man named James Ginn. And she is suing the state of Louisiana through the Department of Health and Hospitals and this facility called Pinecrest. And the type of suit that she brings is a wrongful death. And at the trial court, she was granted $150,000 for her son's wrongful death and $150,000 for a survival action. Now, the facts are this. We have a 47-year-old guy, James Ginn, who's been in this facility, Pinecrest, for 33 years, since he was like 14 years old. He was mentally 3 to 4 years old. He required daily medication for epilepsy. He was totally blind in his right eye, legally blind in his left. He had trouble walking, and he wore a helmet. He had never tried to leave the facility before, and the facility wasn't even sure when exactly he had disappeared. He had been gone about 2 years when the trial began. Well, the plaintiff brought in a doctor, and that doctor said, look, there's a 5% chance that James is alive. This guy needed his medications or he would have a seizure within 48 hours, and then death would follow 3 to 5 days later. Now, another doctor was also brought in, and that was the treating physician. And he said, you know, this guy would not die without his medication, but he maybe could die from exposure. So the issue, of course, is this or should this guy be dead in the eyes of the law? The defendants argued that death is not certain because no one knows if this guy is dead or not. And the medical testimony indicated a chance, at least, of survival. But the Third Circuit ruled that this guy was, in fact, dead in the eyes of the law. Now, you know, we could argue about the inconsistencies, possibly, of the Bennett and the Jones case. But I think it's just important for you to understand at this point that at one time in Louisiana law, it seemed that we needed calamity for someone to be declared dead, but now under Article 30, which was added in the early 1990s, you don't necessarily need a calamity. You just need, as the article indicates, a person who has disappeared under circumstances where his or her death seems certain. Okay, so that's Article 30. In order to illustrate that a little better, let's look at Hypothetical 4. Hypothetical 4 says, in the year 2005, Brad insured his own life for $5 million via a life insurance policy from People Insurers Incorporated and named his wife, Jennifer, as the beneficiary of that policy. After divorcing Jennifer, Brad began a relationship with Angelina and changed his life insurance paperwork so that Angelina, not Jennifer, would be the policy beneficiary. In 2010, after 6 children with Angelina, Brad was diagnosed with HIV. His condition worsened over time, and he became very depressed. In 2015, Brad just up and disappeared. It is now 2019, and Angelina, as the beneficiary of the policy, has sued People for the proceeds. Do you think she can recover? Why or why not? The answer is probably not. If we look at the pre-Article 30 jurisprudence, he would have had to have been exposed to peril of life, which the courts had indicated was a calamity. And that is not the scenario here. We have no fire, no earthquake, no, you know, yellow fever or anything like that. So if we look at that old jurisprudence, no. Even under Article 30, he has to have disappeared under circumstances where his death seems certain. Well, I mean, people with HIV can certainly live for a long time. I mean, look at Magic Johnson. He has been living with HIV for over 20 years. So it seems to me, at least, that Brad will not be presumed dead under Article 30. All right, so that wraps up our first way that a person can be presumed dead, and that is Article 30. The second way someone can be presumed dead is military personnel who are missing in action. In order to get the rules for these people, we need to look at Louisiana Revised Statute 9:1441. And it says, a person on active duty in one of the armed services of the United States who has been reported missing under circumstances which have induced the armed service to which he was attached to accept the presumption of his death shall likewise be presumed dead under the law of this state. So, what this means is that we have several different elements that have to be satisfied for a military personnel to be declared dead under this particular statute. So if you look at the text there, it clearly indicates, one, that a person has to be on active duty, okay? Secondly, the active duty has to be for one of the armed services of the United States. So any sort of, like, state militia would not count. Three, the person has to be reported missing. And four, the circumstances under which he disappeared would have to make the branch he was attached to accept the presumption of his death. Okay? So those are the requirements for Louisiana Revised Statute 9:1441. In order to illustrate those, let's look at Hypothetical 5. Hypothetical 5 says that John joins the National Guard in 2005. In 2008, he is sent to training exercises in Central America. While there, insurgents kidnap John and five other male guardsmen. The same insurgents send a video to the United States officials showing a firing squad executing six men whose faces are covered. Nevertheless, the National Guard believes that the executed men on the video are, in fact, the kidnapped guardsmen. The National Guard accepts that John and the other five guardsmen are presumed dead. Will John be considered dead under Louisiana law? Why or why not? All right, this is an interesting question, and it is a great hypothetical to illustrate to you how to best attack a question like this on an exam. If you got this question from me on an exam, you would, of course, mention Louisiana Revised Statute 9:1441, and then what I would expect you to do would be to take each of the elements that I just told you about and apply each of them. So you would say, okay, in order for John to be presumed dead under 9:1441, there would have to be four elements satisfied. And you would say, one, he would have to be on active duty. All right, so this is sort of the first question. Is he on active duty? I mean, he is in the National Guard, and I don't know how much you guys know about the Guard, and I'm no expert on it, but the National Guard usually meets 1 week in a month, and they do 2 weeks during the summer. So the question becomes, he is, you know, on these he's in this training exercises, and the question is that active duty? Now, I've had students in the past who have been in the National Guard, and they said, yep, when you're doing your 2 weeks in the summer, you're on active duty. So I'm going to go with what they say. What happens if you get something like this on an exam and you don't know the answer because you don't know anything about the National Guard? Well, in that situation, you would just say, well, first issue is he on active duty? This guy's in the National Guard. I don't know anything about the National Guard, professor, but if he, you know, if his 2 weeks in the summer counts as active duty, he is. If not, then no, and, you know, he won't qualify. You just say, you just deal with both situations. All right, moving on. The second thing, he has to be in one of the armed services of the United States. So that's kind of the second issue here. Is the National Guard part of the armed services of the United States? Based on some things some students said and also some things that I read on the internet, it seems that, yes, the Guard is part of the U.S. Army, I believe. So then you go on three, was he reported missing? Yes, he was. And then finally four, was he missing under circumstances that make the branch to which he was attached accept the presumption of death? And the facts clearly tell you that, yes, the Guard accepts that John and the other five guardsmen are presumed dead. So that's how you would perform that analysis. Okay. So we've gone through Article 30, presumed death, and MIAs. The third and final way that someone can be presumed dead is to be an absent person satisfying certain requirements. All right, so the first thing you've got to clear if you want to use the absent person route to have somebody declared dead is they have to be an absent person in the first place. So what's an absent person? Well, Louisiana Civil Code Article 47 tells you. It says an absent person is one who has no representative in the state and whose whereabouts are not known and cannot be ascertained by diligent effort. All right, so to be an absent person, one, you can't have a representative in the state. So this is usually, in the context of an adult, a mandate. Or you may have heard it called an agent. Agent is actually the common law lingo for a mandatory. But you're looking for a situation where someone has appointed someone to look after their affairs. If they've left a representative in the state to look after their affairs, they cannot be an absent person, and therefore you could not have them declared dead. But if they have not left such a representative, they could be an absent person. The second thing you've got to have an absent person is that the person's whereabouts are not known. Third thing you've got to have is that their whereabouts cannot be ascertained by diligent effort. Now, comment F to Article 47 helps you out a little bit with that last requirement. It says, to prove that the whereabouts cannot be ascertained by diligent effort, it must be shown that such an effort has in fact been made or that it would be futile to do so. So what is proof of diligent effort? I mean, if you had someone who disappeared, what would be some of the first things you would do to try to find them? And, you know, if you did these things, you make it show that you had made diligent effort and that their whereabouts are unascertainable even in, you know, after that. Well, some of the things you could do, you could contact the hospital. You could contact the funeral home where the person was last seen. Some other good things to do, you could publish a notice in the local newspaper. You know, I am looking for so-and-so, anyone with information about his whereabouts, blah, blah, blah. You could look for the person in the telephone book in the city of their last residence. You know, go to their residence. You could contact a private investigator, but we do have a case out of the Louisiana First Circuit from 1998 called N. Ray Boyd, 723 Southern 2nd, 1107, that says that a private investigator is not actually necessary. And, I mean, in this day and age, you can also get on Facebook, you know, do a little cyber stalking to see if you can't find this person. So, all right. Let's say that we've satisfied all of that and we have our absent person. That's not all that you have to have in order to have somebody declared dead. You do have to have the absent person. But if you look at Article 54 of the Louisiana Civil Code, it will tell you the additional requirement. What it says, in the first sentence at least, one who has been an absent person for 5 years is presumed to be dead. So if you've done your analysis of, you know, your person who's disappeared and you come to the conclusion that, yes, in fact, they are an absent person, the next thing you have to ask yourself is, have they been gone for 5 years? And if the answer is yes, you can have them declared dead or they're presumed dead. One other situation that has come up under Louisiana law in the context of absent persons, and it's pretty ironic that I'm talking about this today since I'm doing this podcast because of Hurricane Isaac coming towards us, is Hurricane Katrina and Rita. In 2006, the Louisiana legislature added a second sentence to Louisiana Civil Code Article 54 and made it retroactive back to August 26, 2005 to deal with people who disappeared during Katrina and Rita. And what it says is, if the absence commenced between August 26, 2005 and September 30, 2005 and was related to or caused by Hurricane Katrina or Rita, the absent person who is not charged currently with an offense that is defined as a felony under the laws of the state of Louisiana or the United States of America shall be presumed dead after the passage of 2 years. So you kind of have your general rule of if you have an absent person, they're gone 5 years, they're presumed dead. And then you have your Katrina Rita deviation. And what that Katrina Rita deviation says is if you've got a person who's been gone 2 years, they can be presumed dead if certain other requirements are satisfied. One, their absence had to have commenced between certain dates, August 26th, September 30th, 2005. Two, their absence has to be related to or caused by Katrina or Rita. And three, they can't have been charged with a felony under the laws of Louisiana or the U.S. Now, the reason they bring that up is because, you know, it is highly likely that some people could have fled during the hurricanes if they had been charged with felonies. In fact, this is an interesting story. I had a cousin in jail, actually, during the hurricanes, and they just opened the jail and let them out. And he walked 30 miles home. But that is completely an aside. Okay, so that essentially wraps up our discussion of presumed death, except that we need to do one other hypothetical to try to illustrate this absent person scenario. So hypothetical six says we got the same facts as hypo four, except now it is 2021. Between 2015, when Brad disappeared, and now, Angelina has called all of her friends, Brad's friends, their mutual friends, and she even called Jennifer to see if any of them have seen or heard from Brad. Sadly, each of the people she contacts states that they have not seen or heard from Brad. Does she have any recourse to recover the life insurance policy proceeds? Why or why not? Well, we don't exactly know the answer to this. The important thing about the hypothetical is to be able to go through the analysis. So the first question that we're going to be going through here is whether or not Brad is an absent person under Louisiana Civil Code Article 47. And the answer to that is we don't really know. First of all, the facts don't tell you if he's left a representative in the state or not. So if he has, he's not an absent person. The second thing to be an absent person, of course, is his whereabouts have to be unknown, which that's satisfied. But it also has to be shown, remember, that those whereabouts cannot be ascertained with diligent effort. So the big issue here is can she prove that his whereabouts cannot be ascertained by diligent effort? And remember, under that comment, she's supposed to show either that she made a diligent effort or that it would be futile to do so, okay? So in this situation, she didn't do enough. I mean, she called a few people, but she didn't call the morgue. She didn't call hospitals. She didn't put anything in the newspaper. She didn't check on Facebook. You know, she didn't do the things she needed to do to show that she had made a diligent effort to ascertain his whereabouts. Nor could she show it would be futile to do so because, remember, I mean, there's been no calamity. You know, Brad has HIV, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he would be dead. So, you know, the big issue is whether or not he's an absent person. Now, if he is indeed an absent person, which I don't think she's done enough, I don't think that she could satisfy the requirements for showing that. But if she did, then he has been absent for the requisite time period, which is 5 years. Now, I want to mention a couple of more things before I finish this lecture. I want to go back for a second to the Katrina Rita deviation. Normally, I would tell you guys that that part of the article really isn't that relevant anymore because if you think about it, when did Katrina and Rita happen? They happened 7 years ago, right? So you've got all sorts of things that you have to prove in order to use that provision of the article. Remember, you had to prove when they disappeared, that it was between certain dates. You have to prove that it was related to the hurricane and they hadn't been charged with a felony. So the the requirements are a little more onerous for what you have to show. Of course, the time limit is shorter. But 7 years later, it seems that it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to try to use the Katrina-Rita deviation, where you had to show all of that stuff, when you could just use the regular absent person rules and say, this is an absent person, they've been gone 5 years, and that's all you've got to show. So I would normally say, Hurricane Rita, Katrina exception or deviation, that doesn't really matter anymore because anybody with any sense is just going to go straight under the regular absent person rules because there's been 5 years passed since the hurricanes. But I made a point to include it in the lecture today because it appeared on the last bar exam. And I had several students send me emails and say, thank God you taught us that stuff because it was on the bar. So just in case it rears its ugly little head in the next few years for any of you guys after you graduate, I want to make sure you're at least exposed to the idea, and hopefully you'll remember it at that point. One last thing I want to say is a lot of students run into problems sometimes when they see a presumed death question on their exam, especially under situations where I have somebody in the military as the character in the hypo on the exam, and then I might have like an earthquake or something happening. Most students will say, oh, it's somebody in the military, I'm going to go under 9:1441. And while they're doing the right thing to make that analysis, that is not going to pick up all the points you need to pick up. So if I were you, if you see a person in the military, don't just assume that all you need to talk about is 9:1441. Because if you see a person in the military, you definitely want to talk about 1441, but if they have disappeared under circumstances where their death seems certain, you would also want to discuss Article 30. If I have a military person who disappeared on September 1st, 2005, then you could, in fact, discuss, and it's now 2012, you could discuss all three methods of presumed death. I mean, you could talk about Article 30, death seems certain, and you could use the Bennett case and be like, hey, here's a calamity. This person disappeared under circumstances where death seems certain, so Article 30 is triggered. You could also talk about 9:1441. Let's say that this person was in the Army and they were sent down here because of a state of emergency, and they were in active duty and the Army accepts the presumption of death. All right, so 1441 might also be satisfied. Then you could also talk about absent persons. You could talk about, well, under the article, this person's absent, assuming they haven't left a representative in the state and that diligent efforts have been made to find them. You could say, this is an absent person. They've been gone 5 years. Or you could also throw in the Katrina-Rita deviation and go, they also, satisfy those requirements of disappear between these dates, no felony, et cetera, et cetera. So the point I'm making is that if you see a presumed death question, you should not just assume that it's going to be one of the three ways. I may have it be one. I may have it triggering two different potential statutes there, or it may implicate all three. So just be very careful on presumed death to remember all three options, Article 30, MIAs, and absent persons. So that essentially wraps up our discussion for today. I urge you guys to be safe. I urge you that if you have any questions based on what I've been lecturing on, to either send me an email, find me during office hours, etc. And I'll see you guys later. Bye.